Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome. Good to see you guys out this morning. We have some exciting news this week to share. Daniel got a job in closer to home, which is, I'm just so pumped. Something that I believe that was the Lord, absolutely. And so we'll praise him for that. And you know, there's nothing we need that God doesn't have the answer for and can do it. We just let him. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning, I want to, in a way, pick up from where we were last week. I don't know how many, there was very few online last week, but I know Edith was, and we talked about being a new creation in Christ. We talked about how any man in Christ, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Now, when the Bible says all things, you know, it's funny how when we read the scriptures, we don't see all things, okay? When we think of ourselves as being in Christ, we really in our minds mentally assent to the fact that someday I'm going to die and go to heaven and be with the Lord. You know, that's what that means. But it's so much more than that. So all things have become new. And so your question, you know, really studying this is like, what all things? Like, what is this talking about, all things become new? Because when you receive Jesus in this life, in this world, in this body, nothing really changes. Like, you don't see a drastic change, but something has happened and all things truly have become new. And so I'm going to talk a little bit today about, I mean, how we view this and what we sometimes, how we even look at the scriptures, okay? And so the first thing I want to answer is, how do we become in Christ? If any man be in Christ, you know, you read that and you think, well, you think you understand what it means, but it simply means by believing the gospel. If you believe the gospel that Jesus died for you in your place to pay off your sins, and you receive that gift. You see, so many people don't understand that there's a part you play by receiving. You know, people think, well, I believe in Jesus, I believe, but they've never taken the time to make it personal. You know what I mean? Yeah, you've got to make it personal. You got to say, I want that. Not just, you know, because you belong to a church that preaches that and you mentally assent to it, say, oh yeah, I believe that. But did you take that step of faith? Because that's what faith is. And just say, yes, it's mine. I received the forgiveness of sins. Not just in broad overall, yeah, Jesus died for sins. But you've made it personal, okay? And that's what it means to be in Christ. And the moment you make it personal, God places you into Christ. Okay, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the word behold, there's no insignificant word in the Bible. The word behold means look. Don't look at the old, look at the new. Look who you now are in Christ. Behold, all things are become new. Look at the new you, not the old you. And that's where we mess up many times. It's because we are so looking in the past at we believe we are who we used to be. We don't see ourselves as this new creation. And so to be in Christ is very simple. You know, it's not complicated at all. Just simply believe the gospel, receive it for yourself, make it personal, and you become a new creation instantly. How simple is that? God has made it so easy that we miss it. There are so many people trying to live this good life, trying by their efforts to be a good person so that someday they have a chance of making it to heaven. And yet God has made it so easy and we miss it many times. And I want to talk about that this morning, and I want to drive that point home, the simpleness of God, how easy he's made everything. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55. God speaks here and he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, the word higher means, of course, higher. I don't know how else to say it. And God's thoughts, and you hear me out on this, God's thoughts and God's ways towards man seem foolish. Come on, let's be honest. God's ways seem very foolish. Even to those of us who are in Christ, they seem at times foolish. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, and I'm giving you some wisdom here so that you can really discern if things are of God or if things are of you or the flesh. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, that God has specifically chosen. Notice the word chosen. God specifically chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised. God has chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Why? That no flesh is going to glory in his presence. We look for God in the big, sensational, you know, ways. We hear eloquent speeches and we see things that really impress us. And we're really affected by that. A lot of times God's not even in it, because God uses the foolish things, the weak things, the things that are base, the small, insignificant things. We're always looking for the big. God's not found in the big. Remember, was it Elijah up on that mount trying to hear God? And he says at the end of it, God wasn't in the hurricane. His voice was not found in that hurricane. It wasn't in the lightnings and thunderings. But it was in the wee, wee, small voice. God uses the little things. Insignificant things. Foolish things. Things that we look at and think, there's no way. How could that be? And God's laughing. You know, God has a sense of humor. More so than anybody on the earth, or anybody that ever was on the earth. God has a sense of humor. We don't see God that way. We see him as a stern judge. Oh no, he's laughing at us because he knows how humanity thinks. He knows that we put a lot in stock to the sensational, and he uses little things, insignificant things. And that's why when you study the Bible, you key in on the little things, not the big things, because God is always found in the little things, the little children. You know, you can learn so much from watching a child. Their innocence, they can be a handful, but God loves children. Why? Because they just believe anything you tell them. Nothing is too great or too big or too small for them. And you have to understand, God is seen so much in just watching children. I've learned so much from children. I really have. I think they teach the parents. It's not the other way around. Oh. So God chooses the things and the ways that we think are foolish, unimportant, insignificant, to show up man's ways, man's pride, prideful. He thinks he's so smart. And we, like I say, the natural man, somehow we yet look for the sensational, the wow factor. That's not where God is. Although God can wow you, don't kid yourself, God is still God. But God uses the small, seemingly insignificant things, and I'm going to give you a secret. They are the most powerful. They are the most powerful. And because they seem so insignificant to us, we, even the body of Christ, the church, put little faith in them. We seem to, we know it, we mentally assent, but we don't have that much faith in the small, insignificant things. For example, I'm going to use some examples now that is going to show us. But what I'm trying to do here is to instill faith into you in these small things. Okay? God's ways don't deviate. He always remains the same. And if God's word has said something about something, it doesn't change as we evolve. At least we think we evolve. You know, we're smarter because of more technology, blah, blah, blah. No, God still remains the same. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I've given you something that remains as power, it doesn't change. It doesn't lose its power. And so I want to talk about how we as the church look at these small and some examples as to how we see things. And so I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 to begin this morning. And it says in verse 30, for this cause, now listen carefully, for this cause, this is God speaking, many of you are weak, sickly, and many sleep. In other words, many of you have died. Now, he's not even talking about the world. He's talking about his own family, the children of God, those of us who have received Jesus Christ, who are in Christ. Many of you are weak, many of you are sickly, and many of you have died. In other words, you've died before your time. How many of you know a person who dies young? Now that tells us that's not God's will. God wants you to live a long, full life. That's a gift he's given you. He does not want to see anybody die before their time. Don't let anybody tell you that that's God's will or that God, you can never know God. No, no, God's word is very plain on that. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. That is the truth of God's word. Now, sad to say, many, many Christians don't live that long life. And it tells us right here what the reason is. What's the reason? Let's back up to verse 29. He that eats of the Lord's table and drinks of the cup unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now we know that through the cross, Jesus Christ took upon himself not only our sin, but the consequences of sin. Now the only reason there is sickness and disease in the world and weakness and all of that is because of sin. Sin it brought corruption to the human body, okay? So Jesus took all that sin, he paid the price and set us free from all of that corruption. So at the very cross, he not only took our sins, but he took our sicknesses, our diseases, our pains, everything, all of the physical problems in his own body. And he paid it. He paid for it because that is the price of sin, is death, ultimately death, because sickness and disease is just a stage of death, right? When the body starts to break down, it's just a stage of ultimately you're going to die. And so he took that, not only our sin, but also all of the consequences that sin brought into the world through the cross. And the Bible says, and by his stripe we are not going to be, someday when we get to heaven, we are now, presently, are is a present word, healed. And even we, myself, I've studied the scripture now going on 40 some years, even I who know the scripture, many times I get caught up with thinking of health and well-being. I mean, when we talk health, the word health comes into your mind. What do you think of? What do you think of right away? Well, we think of eating a good diet, you know, eating healthy, organic, however you see it. We think of keeping our bodies fit, exercise, keeping a healthy weight. That's what we think of when we think of health and well-being. We think of getting plenty of rest because we know rest is important to a healthy life. If you can't sleep, your body, it takes a toll on your body. That's becoming more and more obvious with medical science as we go forward, that rest is probably way up there, even above diet. Rest is so very important. But when I say health, most of us don't equate being sick or being healthy to the communion table, do we? No, we immediately think of all the things we must implement into our lives in order to have, I'm not even just talking about being healed, I'm talking about having divine health. When Jesus went to the cross, he became us. You know, it was like a substitution. He became our substitute. He became sick with our sicknesses. He became a curse. He became cursed with our sins. And when he rose from the grave, the moment you receive him, like I talked about how to get into Christ, then God places you in him, and everything he has now is yours. The substitution is complete. He became as you, so you can become as him. How is Jesus? He's in divine health. In him, we have divine health. Now, all these things that we do in the natural, I mean, I'm not against them. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with eating healthy and staying fit and, you know, but don't do it for the wrong reasons. Don't push this out of the way. Well, how is it possible that could keep me healthy? You see, it's a small, insignificant thing. Jesus, remember when he gathered at the Last Supper with his disciples and he said, I have longed for, I have desired to have this meal with you, to institute the Lord's Supper. And we look at it like a ritual. No power in it. You see, we've reduced, it's the small things. This is a simple, small thing. But it is powerful if you put your faith in, if you understand what it means. You see how we have in the church, and in fact, some churches don't even celebrate communion. I didn't always understand the communion either and what it really means until maybe 10 years ago. But since then, I do not miss a day without partaking of the communion table. That's the beauty of it. You can do it in your own home. You don't have to wait to come to a service and know we had communion this morning. It is so powerful. In fact, the early church, when they gathered on Sunday, this, what we do here, is nothing like they did in the early. You know what they gathered for in the early church? To break bread. Because they knew. They knew in that, in this here, in the elements, is all we need. Health, wholeness. I'm not just talking about being free from sickness and disease. I'm talking about vitality, youthfulness. I'm talking about being full of energy. I'm talking about mentally being stable. I'm talking about spiritually, physically, the whole body, Jesus' whole body, soul, every part of his being was given up so that every part of your being could be whole. And they went, the Bible tells us, if we go back and read in the book of Acts, they went from house to house to house, breaking bread. That was the whole purpose. And we've gotten so far from that. You know, coming to church is sometimes more about listening to some sort of a, what did I say last week? Well, some sort of eloquent speech. You know, like, no. And no wonder the Apostle Paul, when he addresses the church, he says, I came here with fear and trembling, pretending to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because if I give you anything that you think that it's because of me or my eloquent words, it takes away from the power of this. It's Christ and him crucified. And this is symbolic and it represents that. But when you take it by faith, it becomes powerful, alive, and it quickens your body. Now that is so hard for us to believe. Can't be that easy, we say. My ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts your thoughts. And God is chuckling because he knows how we're going to approach this thing, and we're going to be like, yeah, no. That's God's way. That is God's way. And God's word specifically says, for this reason, because you fail to discern the Lord's body. In other words, you don't take it in faith. You don't take it with any faith. And then you eat and drink unworthily. And I know that in the church for years, I grew up in a denominational, I grew up Catholic, and that to partake of the body and blood of Jesus unworthily was to partake if I had sin. And so we had to go to confession first. We had to make sure we were free of all sin. But let me tell you, that robs you. If I told you that that's what it meant, would you take it? I ain't no dummy. Because I never know, I'm not even really sure. Like, I can confess the sins that I know of, but did I forget one? Or was something I did or said a sin and I didn't know it? And now, if I partake, I'm going to eat damnation unto myself. No, thank you. I think I'll pass today. But that's how we were raised. That's how we were taught. And so we were taught to almost, you know, yeah, revere the emblems, but in the wrong way. And at the same time, we were being robbed of our health. And so when the Lord opened up my eyes to see that, I was like, whoa. I mean, it's to partake unworthily is to partake in a manner where you're not partaking it of faith. That's unworthily. Where you're not trusting that because of the body of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Because of the blood that was shed, I'm forgiven. It's got nothing to do with whether I did it right or did it wrong or not. You know, we put everything on us. Now I examine myself. I look deep within to see whether I have sin. Well, guess what? If you don't find any sin, I think you're lying. All of us find fault. We're our worst critic. You don't see me the way I see me. Just like you don't see yourself the way I see you. We always find fault with ourselves. And so who can come worthily and eat? No, it means to eat unworthily means not to discern. And for that reason, we're sick. You see, the communion table was God's delivery system to all of the things Jesus did for us. All of the promises. It's the delivery system. It's a simple thing. And we just, anything that's that simple, we just know it can't be that easy. You know that bunch down there, they believe that just by eating a cracker and drinking an ounce of juice, they're healthy? How ridiculous. You see, that's God's ways. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, oh my goodness, have we missed God in so many ways. Okay, let's continue on. Our minds will fight it. It's too simple. It's just way too simple. Just like people today fight the message of grace. Oh, no, 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 you got to add to it. And that's what we've been doing for years. We've got to add to the gospel. It can't be that simple that you can just believe only and that's it. You've got to live it. You know, I hear so many messages and sermons that are mixture. And the minute you mix it, it loses its power. It robs you. It robs you. Come, freely receive. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Him. And the only way we will change in our behavior, because that's what we think we have to do, is to continue to receive. Come, receive. And you know what? All of a sudden, all those things that we struggled with are gone. We don't need them anymore. I mean, we just don't. We're so fulfilled in everything that He freely gives. I don't need that in my life anymore. I've got everything I could possibly need. It's the only way. Otherwise, it's willpower. It's on your willpower. And God said, we read that before, that no flesh will glory in my presence. You see, some people have more willpower than others. Some people can go on a diet, and I mean, man, they just will not break that diet. The next guy, are you kidding me? He's eating chocolate bars in the middle of the night. And he's, you know, they have no willpower. You know, so then that means that the guy who is strong, he's got a strong will, he has reason to boast. He has reason to be proud. Well, look at me. I can keep this. You see, and no flesh is going to glory in the presence of God. It's going to be all God. And that's what this table symbolizes. It's all me. It's simple. It's childlike faith that we need. But it's powerful. So powerful. I don't have time this morning, but I've got testimonies that I could read of people that put their trust, I mean, had no place else to go. And that's the beauty of it. It matters not where you are. It matters not how sick you are or what the problem is. This will give you and supply you all the things you need, no matter how big, no matter how small. So our minds will fight the simple things. The communion table is a very simple thing. No effort on our part except to believe what God has said about it. That's it. That's our part. And then it becomes the most powerful, wonderful thing God could ever have given us, other than being saved from hell. Because at this table, we have things that we need in this life. And I believe, I don't know about you if you agree with me, that next to salvation, being saved from hell, healing is the most important thing. If you aren't healthy, you are not going to enjoy your life. It doesn't matter how much money you got. You cannot buy health. Divine health and wholeness comes from the Lord alone. I mean, we might have some pretty good drugs out there, take away a lot of pain, but at the end of the day, you do not have divine health. And usually drugs have side effects. God's communion table has no side effects, only life. And so health is very important. And this is God's delivery system to us of the very divine health of God Himself. And this is seen as one of those foolish things. When you finally believe it, the results will be astounding. Now, another example I'm going to bring up here is being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in the Spirit, or speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, even in a lot of churches, is not even taught. They, if somebody approaches them with, why don't you teach this? They say it was all passed away with the disciples. I don't think so. God's word never passes away. And, you know, when we think of prayer, let's talk about prayer now. When you and I think of prayer, and we think of the fact that you have not because you ask not, we know we need to pray and ask the Father for the things we need, right? And when you think of prayer, you sometimes get worried that, oh, I missed something. Oh my goodness, we're on this airplane and I didn't pray for protection. Oh, I didn't pray for my kids. There's so many things to pray for nowadays. Everything's falling apart. There's so much out there that could affect my children and me. And where do you even start? You know? And so you've got your list, and you get your list out like your grocery list, and you get into your prayer closet and say, okay, Lord. And that's not what God wants from you. God wants you to come and spend time with Him. Well, how can you when you've got so many things to pray about? And so you do all the talking. You who know nothing, do all the talking to the one who knows everything. And that's kind of how it is. We don't have the time to stop and really hear Him. And so God has given us, I mean, we know that the Holy Spirit is for us to be empowered, but more so, it's for us to share intimacy with God, to take us into the rest, to relieve us of having to worry about having prayed right. And all it is, and we look at it in the church, a lot of times they say, how can that mumbo jumbo coming out of your mouth do or be anything? And yet it is so powerful, because the Holy Spirit, God Himself, God the Spirit is in you, praying through you. He knows what your tomorrow is going to bring. He knows what's the accident that might befall you next week. And He's already praying. He's already going ahead in your timeline and making sure everything is right for you. He's praying about that thing going on in your body that you don't even know about. You know, so many times they talk about preventative, make sure you get your go get your colonoscopies and all the other things so that you know. But the Holy Spirit, I call him my doctor. He knows exactly what's going on in your body. And when you begin to pray, let him pray through you. He is praying for those things that you don't even know about. He's praying for situations that might arise with your children that you don't know about. He works out all things in your all things, whether it's your physical body, your children, your finances, your job. He works out all things for the good of all. He's out there. It is such a powerful way to pray. And he knows how to pray and which prayer to offer. He knows the word of God that you need to pray forth. We sometimes don't know how to pray as we ought, the Bible says. And we just throw up prayers hoping that one of them hits heaven and brings an answer down. But when you pray in the Spirit, you are specifically praying. And you know what? You can rest. That's why the Bible says this is the rest to the Christian. And another wonderful thing about it is you don't have to lock yourself in your prayer closet all day and be doing this like you would with prayer. You know, you can't be praying to God and have be distracted. Whereas when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you can be doing that during your day, even when you're at work. Can you imagine? Just praying all day. I mean, you're so pumped up and you're so full of faith by the end of the day. It is so powerful to living the life God wants us to live on the earth. And Jesus even said that out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of life. If there's something in your life that looks like it's dying, you just say, Holy Spirit, pray that. I'm praying. I'm putting that in your hands, and I'm just going to believe. And as you pray in the Spirit, the thing that is dying, he's infusing life into it. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's your body. How many times I say, Holy Spirit, I feel so tired today. I just feel weak. I feel like I just want to go back to bed. Holy Spirit, I just put this in your hands, and I just start to pray. And I mean, he begins to quicken you from the inside out. And I mean, whatever the need is, when you open up your mouth, and it sounds ridiculous, it really does. And I find men have a bigger problem, I'm going to be honest with it, than women do. Maybe because women like to chatter. I don't know. But men, it's like, whoa, that's weird. But that's okay. Walk away from it. You're walking away from one of the most powerful gifts, God. And God is giggling. I'm sure of it. He's saying, yeah, there's another one that's doubting these little things again. And okay, well, whatever. It's there if you want it. It's awesome. And I find it amazing how God uses these little things, things that are base, things that are sound ridiculous to us, not only mentally, but even in the natural. You know, but children, there again, what do? They receive it, and I mean, you got to worry about them speaking out in school. Like, okay, you use this prayer language when you're on the, maybe when you're out playing at recess, but don't get too bold with it in the middle of the classroom. So I know that my daughter-in-law has to warn her little girl about that. And I mean, how wonderful, because they've got no shame. It's like, this is it, and this is what I'm going to do. And I wish we could be more like that, that we could be so bold in our faith and so childlike that, you know, and it's just amazing. But that's just another area where God uses the tongue. The Bible says is the littlest member in our body, and yet it carries the most weight and the most power. Life and death are in the power of your own tongue. Did you know that? And he who uses it will eat the fruit of it. If you're speaking negatively, you will eat the fruit of your own words. If you look at your life and you think, just getting worse? You got to take a look and say, what have I been speaking? What have I been giving power to? You know, am I speaking the word of God, which is life, words of life? Or am I speaking, you know, because we call it like it is. You know, I speak reality. Get real. You know, all these things that we hear all the time. Get your head out of the sand and look at it. It's real. This is reality. No, you're in Christ now. All things have become new. Your reality is no longer in this world, but it's who you are in Him. That has to become your new reality. And it's sad because we don't see that many times as Christians. And we wonder why. What's so different about my life to your life? Because everybody's life kind of, you know, you suffer with the same things, you have the same problems. And it ought not to be so. Because we're not that old person anymore. We've been taken out from underneath the power of this world. We don't understand that. We think we're still subject to everything that's going on. Whether it's even sickness and disease, we think, well, how is it? How are we ever going to die if we don't get sick? You know what? You can die without getting sick. You live out your days, you lay down, and you give up the ghost. That's God's way. Very few people go out God's way, but there are some. There are some. We sometimes, we're led to believe that everything that happens around us, we are subject to it just like anybody else. I'm flesh. But yet Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're of the kingdom of God. And it's, you are a citizen of heaven. And just like when you go into another country, I said that last week, you don't have citizenship in that country. You're there for a visit. It's like, that's how we are on this earth. Your citizenship is in Canada. And so you're subject to Canadian laws and rules. Just like we are not subject to this world's laws anymore. We're subject only to heavenly ones, which is life and life abundance. And we need to get that understanding. This is no longer my reality, but the kingdom of heaven is my reality. And in the kingdom of heaven, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm prosperous. I have all things. And that has to become our new reality. When I say you are a new creation in Christ, that's what I mean. I don't mean it as a bad thing. It's a great thing. If we only knew, like I said last week, if you only knew your identity in Jesus, you would be hoopling and hoppling around here and shouting and like, seriously, you would be. But it's because we're so dull. All we see is the things in the world. And they become such a huge reality to us. It's hard for us to look at these simple things that God has placed for us and say, oh yeah, that can make a difference. Like, are you kidding me? I struggle with it just like anybody else. You know, when I take the communion, it's like, okay. But the more you remind yourself, the more you read through the scriptures and see God's ways, the more apt you are to believe it. It's like, okay, this is just the way God works. You know, and I'm either going to get along with the program or I'm going to lose out. I mean, you're the only one that's going to be hurt if you don't believe it. God's not going to force you to believe anything. He's given you the choice. The Holy Spirit misses nothing. And we wonder how babbling a bunch of words we can't even understand could possibly make it such a difference in our lives. It sounds absurd, foolish, but it's most powerful. Did you notice that everything that the enemy pushes back on, tries to convince you, is silly? He attacks the things that are the most powerful. He really does. Come along and say, you're not going to be taken in by that bunch. That's ridiculous. Honestly. And you think those are your own thoughts. They're not your own thoughts. They're his thoughts. They're his speaking to your brain. Why? Why does he not want you to get a hold of these things? Because they are powerful. And his power over you is broken. And he knows it. Another very simple thing, we're going to use one more example, Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. It tells us this. These signs are going to follow those that believe. Anybody here believe? Come on, are you believers? Are you in Christ? Okay, these are the signs that should follow you. In my name, they will cast out devils. You know, in the past, have you ever seen the show The Exorcism and what they had to go through? It was like they were fighting that devil. The cross and the garden. I don't know what the people use, but they chant and they... But here, it's very... God's way is simple. In my name, they will cast out devils. These signs will follow you. They will speak with new tongues. Okay, we just talked about that. Praying in the Spirit. Verse 18, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. How many times do we get so concerned about having eaten something or drank something? Or maybe, you know, like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with all the additives in the food? Well, that's deadly, right? But here the Bible says, if you eat anything deadly, it's not going to hurt you. If you just sanctified in the name of Jesus, remember it said, in my name. Before you eat it, say, in the name of Jesus, be pure and eat it. And the last one, they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. It doesn't say they might. They shall recover. That means it's assuredly so. They will recover. Now, okay, you see these things dangling here? They're called hands. We all got hands. You know, the scripture doesn't even say they'll pray for the sick. You see, hands lay on, healed. That's how easy it is. But yet we've taken it, even in the church. And I mean, we believe in laying on of hands because the Bible, it's scriptural. But it's like, we got to work it up. We got to pray. We got to, you know, whatever. We can stand there for an hour and speak over this person. All the Bible says, these two things here, lay on sick people. Sick people get up and recover. How simple. Y'all get hands. Y'all believers. And this is the sign the Bible says that will follow you. But if you don't believe that, you're not going to be laying hands on people that are sick. You're going to say, oh, that looks foolish. And in our minds, it's foolish. How can my hands, I'm just a human being, laid on someone else, cause them to recover? You see, our minds fight it. It's too simple. Way too simple. So then we tell these people who possibly are sick, well, you know, you need to get into the scriptures, you need to do this, you need to do that. And so we add a whole bunch to what God has said. And in the end, it's powerless. So we need to dig through all of that garbage, get back to the simplicity of God, and lay hands on sick people, expecting, we don't even have to pray. You know, it does not say you have to pray. It says just lay your hands on them and they shall recover. The life that's in you see, you have the life of God on the inside of you now, if you are in Christ, comes through your hands into that person. Simple as that. God has made it so easy. So easy. And my prayer for us is that as we go into these last days, that we get rid of all of the baggage that we've been fed, go back to the simplicity of God's word and believe it and do it. And trust that it's more than you need. You don't need anything more. You see, when we approach even salvation, it's too easy. Someone, let's say, a serial killer. And we think, whoa, that person is like banned forever. Do you know it applies to him too? If he simply believes that Jesus died and took the payment for all of his sins, whether it's murder, whether it's lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. That's how simple it is. He doesn't have to try to make up for, you know, repent and do all kinds of works to prove that he's a changed man. No, it's simply by trusting in Jesus, the cross, and saying, I do. It's like getting married. You know, how many of us question? I used to question it because I married people. I'm thinking, how is it that when I say, I now pronounce you husband and wife, how can that be that they are now husband and wife? You know, my mind would say, no. It has to be from a bishop or maybe the Pope or somebody who carries some weight, some authority. And that's how we feel sometimes. But God has empowered you as little individuals. We always look to the big, to the, you know, those that have special anointings by God to lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say that here. It says, if you believe. So it's for everybody. The reason God chose to send Jesus, God chose to make it simple. You know why? He could have chose to save us some other way. But he wanted to do it simple. Why? So that there was a chance for everybody. Everybody can receive freely. You don't have to earn it. If you try to earn it, you miss it. God doesn't give anything outside of Jesus. Remember John chapter 14, I believe, Cameron? I said John chapter 14. You can bring that up. Verse, I'm not sure if it's a 10. Six. Thank you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. You can underline that in your words. No man comes to me. This is the Father's, or it comes to the Father, except by me. You see, there's so many ways to God today. Well, I'm a pretty good person, or I'm this, or I'm that, or we think our works somehow save us. You know, that God's looking for you to do a huge thing in your life, and you know, look at my ministry, and look at all the people I reached for you, and look at all this. I built missionaries, and I built schools, and I built places for children to come and be looked after, orphanages, whatever. You can do all those good works, and you can take your whole lifetime in trying to serve, trying to do something to impress God. Nothing impresses God except faith. You know what impresses God? That person who comes to the communion table and believes that that is the system that God has given us to health. That impresses God. And you read through the scriptures and you're going to see that. The only time Jesus, whatever, the only thing that stopped Jesus in his tracks was faith. It's like, whoa, I haven't found faith. What's God looking for? Faith. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. It's not even like to please God. He set it up this way. God is a faith God. And then again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, I believe it says that he who draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. In other words, you begin to walk by faith and then you draw away because you don't see it happening right away. Don't let that pull you back. When you start taking from the communion table, it matters not what you see, feel, hear, or you know that that is what God has said, and I will continue to receive of it until I see the results. Because Jesus even said in the Bible, you have need of patience. Now, the word patience means continuance. You continue in the things that you know to be the truth. You may not receive the first time, the second time. You may not. But bless God, it might be the third. You just continue to do it by faith. Faith never quits. Faith never quits because faith is convinced that the reality of it is in heaven, not on the earth. Faith is convinced that we've already got it. And that's why I preach it so hard. Quit trying to get something you already have. Just take God's principles from his word, put them to work, and you will be blessed. You will see a change in your life. Don't look for the big sensational things and think, oh, when is God going to do this? God uses little things, always. I mean, look at David. He killed Goliath with a small little stone. I mean, this giant was 9 foot tall, and one stone took him down. He uses the small things in life, always. The insignificant. Aren't you glad? I look at myself and I say, I'm a foolish thing. God can use me. You see, he doesn't often use the mighty and the, you know, those that have a big name for themselves. He uses the wee, the small, the insignificant, those that don't look all that smart. God loves to use that. Why? Because at the end of it all, you know it's God. It has to be God. Because no man will glory in his presence. It's a free gift. Everything Jesus did is free. You can't earn it. You just have to receive it. And if you can't, if you know you still can't believe it, just keep on. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. And the more you hear about God's goodness, the simplicity of God, the more likely you are to really lay hold of it and say, that's mine. No matter how ridiculous it sounds, no matter how small and insignificant it is, I believe God's word. And you will never go wrong. You will be healed. You will begin to walk in divine health and wholeness. Not because you eat right, exercise. Like I say, I'm not against those things. God bless you if you do all that. But don't make it your source. He is your always your source for everything that we do. He is the supply, right? Amen. So we're going to stop now and take communion. Take mine over to the piano. Thank you. Lord, it's a small thing. It seems almost foolish at times. But Lord, your word said in the book of John, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of my blood has life. And so we thank you, Father God, that we hold this emblem in our hands. And Father, it is symbolic. It takes the place of Jesus and all that his body underwent in order for us to be healed and healthy and whole and free from every affliction that this world can bring at us. Father God, by his stripe, we are healed and whole. And we just praise you and give you thanks that as we partake of this bread, We give thanks for divine health, which is at work within our bodies, in the name of Jesus. And partake with me, please. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we just give thanks for this cup, the cup of the blood of the new covenant, the blood that was shed to wash away all of our sin. Father God, as we partake of this cup, we bring to remembrance the Lord's death and the fact that he poured out his blood, that all of our sins could be washed away, that we could be made righteous even as he is, that we could enjoy his divine health and wholeness because of that blood. We just give you thanks and praise that that blood protects us. It protects our children and our grandchildren, Father God. We're so grateful that the blood washed away all of our sin, and we are forever safe in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father.